A New Theory of Biology was the title of the paper which Mustafa Mond had just finished reading. He sat for some time, meditatively frowning, then picked up his pen and wrote across the title page, "The author's mathematical treatment of the conception of purpose is novel and highly ingenious, but heretical, and, so far as the present social order is concerned, dangerous and potentially subversive. Not to be published." He underlined the words. "The author will be kept under supervision. His transference to the Marine Biological Station of St. Helena may become necessary." A pity, he thought, as he signed his name. It was a masterly piece of work. But once you begin admitting explanations in terms of purpose, well, you didn't know what the result might be. It was the sort of idea that might easily decondition the more unsettled minds among the higher castes, make them lose their faith in happiness as the sovereign good, and take to believing instead that the goal was somewhere beyond, somewhere outside the present human sphere, that the purpose of life was not the maintenance of well-being, but some intensification and refining of consciousness, some enlargement of knowledge. Which was, the controller reflected, quite possibly true, but not, in the present circumstances, admissible. He picked up his pen again, and under the words, "not to be published," drew a second line, thicker and blacker than the first, then sighed. Oh, what fun it would be, he thought, if one didn't have to think about happiness. With closed eyes, his face shining with rapture, John was softly declaiming to vacancy, "Oh, she doth teach the torches to burn bright. It seems she hangs upon the cheek of night like a rich jewel in an Ethiop's ear. Beauty too rich for use, for earth too dear." The golden tea lay shining on Lenina's bosom. Sportively, the arch-community songster caught hold of it. Sportively, he pulled, pulled. "I think," said Lenina suddenly, breaking a long silence, "I better take a couple of grams of soma." Bernard, by this time, was fast asleep and smiling at the private paradise of his dreams. Smiling, smiling. But inexorably, every 30 seconds, the minute hand of the electric clock above his bed jumped forward with an almost imperceptible click, 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 click. And it was morning. Bernard was back among the miseries of space and time. It was in the lowest spirits that he taxied across to his work at the conditioning center. The intoxication of success had evaporated. He was soberly his old self, and by contrast with the temporary balloon of these last weeks, the old self seemed unprecedentedly heavier than the surrounding atmosphere. To this deflated Bernard, the savage showed himself unexpectedly sympathetic. "You're more like what you were at Malpais," he said when Bernard had told him his plaintive story. "Do you remember when we first talked together, outside the little house? You're like what you were then." "Because I'm unhappy again, that's why." "Well, I'd rather be unhappy than have the sort of false, lying happiness you were having here."
"I like that," said Bernard bitterly, "when it's you who were the cause of it all, refusing to come to my party and so turning them all against me."
He knew that what he was saying was absurd in its injustice. He admitted inwardly and at last even aloud the truth of all that the savage now said about the worthlessness of friends who could be turned upon so slight a provocation into persecuting enemies.